You're on the Mike and Abe show with special guest Carolyn, okay? And you know, I've been
I get
a lot of emails wanting to know why we haven't been on the air. We've had some personal problems, all of us, and you know, if we're not here, we're trying to get here. All right, so yeah. just keep in mind that this show isn't dead in any way, shape, or form. Okay, but
that's right.
There's a couple of things we'd like to see dead. Okay, and
yeah. Don't get us in trouble.
I know. I know. I didn't say people. I said things. All right.
Things. Okay.
You know, such as all of the congestion on the New York City streets, right? And
yeah.
And basically, we're going to talk about that. And you know, what's been going on, Carolyn? You wanna start, or Mike? You wanna start? Which one?
Well, should we talk about the so-called cap that isn't that Uber's
yeah,
still worried
go ahead.
About? Just a few numbers. I still have 13-column ledger paper in my house, so I've been keeping a record of how many cars are on the road. And during the summer, there were, 112,000, in the middle of the summer, 112,000 for-hire vehicles. And now we're over 120,000 vehicles.
Oh, my God.
So what cap are we talking about? There really was no cap. It's a moratorium. And anybody who had signed up before the mayor signed the bill on August 14th was able to get in, and that's what's been going on. It does seem to have stabilized at around 120, 600 and change, but
right.
I think probably there's new cars coming on every day and maybe some older ones dropping off, but I'm not sure about that. In any case, there's plenty of cars on the road.
More than we need.
Yeah, probably about 60, 70, 80,000 too many.
Yeah. Now, Mike, you called me yesterday. You were very concerned about something. Why don't you just express the concerns you told me yesterday?
Well, I've been connecting the dots with this whole Reverend Ruben Diaz deal with the city council. And all of a sudden, he said something which was this big media storm about he was anti-gay and allegedly anti-gay and anti-gay. What he said was, in his words, the city council is controlled by the gay community. Now, it wasn't the greatest thing to say, but he probably should have said the city council has a lot of influence from the gay community. So he said, oh, no, it's controlled by the gay community. As soon as he said that, you had Yoshi said he should resign. You had Corey Johnson said he should resign. You had Grom or whatever his name is from city council. Everybody's saying he should resign. And then, lo and behold, the Amazon deal goes south. And then they're saying that, the silence is deafening. And then Uber comes back around and says they're suing because they shouldn't be at cap on cars. So in the course of 1 week, the guy who's in charge of the FHV committee says something that was taken, I think, blown out of proportion, in my opinion. And then it turns out that they not only want to remove Reverend Ruben Diaz, city council member, from the transportation FHV thing, they want to just dissolve the FHV committee versus replacing him. And then the next day, Uber says they're suing because they want more cars. So that whole connect the dot thing in the course of a week was really weird. I'm just wondering what you folks think.
Well,
I think
it's
probably not really so much a gay issue, although it's being framed that way. I think
right. The
good is being sacrificed on the altar of perfection.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we need to grow up. There are many people in this world who don't agree with me on all kinds of issues. It doesn't mean that I can't talk to them.
Right.
Not that I ever get to talk to Ruben Diaz. I don't, actually. But
mm-hmm. You
have to deal with them. And he has not done a bad job for his constituents, who are livery drivers.
That's what he has to do.
That's his job, to take care of them and protect them.
Well, I think he made a few enemies defending the cab drivers with that committee in the first place and putting a cap on Uber cars.
Well, I think they might have been close to affecting some change, and that's why they had to be gotten rid of. I mean, if you don't like the chairman, get rid of the chairman.
Right, he said that, too. So I think this was deemed as a golden opportunity to get rid of the guy. Versus dealing with it for what it was. It was probably, I think it was a little bit, it wasn't the best thing he could have said. It might have been a little bit stupid on his part, considering he's a politician and how easily people are offended these days.
Right.
To say something as reckless as that. But at the same time, I'm just in the aftermath, you know, where are we at the end of the day?
We are collateral damage in the end.
So they're not even saying replace the guy. They're saying get rid of his whole committee.
And nobody could explain that. Nobody. Yeah. And Helen Rosenthal stood up and made a little speech. She said, that man in the White House, what has this got to do with Donald Trump? And then she said, this isn't about taxis. This is the way you deal with homophobia, getting rid of the FHV. I mean, this makes no sense. This is irrational.
Yeah.
But, you know,
what's the chicken, what's the egg? What's the chicken and what's the egg on this whole deal? Because I think if they really wanted to tell the guy he was out of line, they should have just said, okay, listen, you're out of line. We got to get you out of there, and we're going to replace you with someone else. So they just want to dissolve the whole committee. So it's very, very weird week in the CAB news, to say the least.
Right, a lot of strange coincidences in our world.
Strange coincidences, yes.
Yeah.
Always.
Well, you know, to me, this was a very childish thing for the people on the city council to do. Okay, it's you know, first of all, you know, maybe it's not the gay community that's running the city council. Maybe there's an in crowd. Okay, and Ruben Diaz wasn't part of the in crowd. You know,
yes, so, and he stated that, and he's correct about that.
Yeah, so you know, and you know, then there's the suspicion that there was more to this than just what he said. You know what, that there may be underlying sources motivating all of this. Okay?
Oh yeah, there was one thing that nobody reported on, even though I told several reporters. There was an introduction 1302 bill, which was to establish a minimum drop fare for the app companies, that they cannot go below a certain amount. Now, actually, I've been hearing that the Uber fares are higher than our fares at the moment, but they're very flexible. They could change that. They could get an influx of venture capital tomorrow and say, okay, $2 rides for everybody next week, you know?
Right.
So to prevent that, there was a bill that Diaz was introduced, and it was going to be voted on in the council at the stated meeting.
So Reverend Ruben Diaz had this whole bill ready to go.
Yeah, and it didn't happen because they stripped him of his committee and then dissolved the committee, basically.
So the how dare you scenario, kind of like we are the collateral damage once again in this whole mess.
But why isn't the press reporting on that? They know about
the press, that's the whole thing. Everything in the press today is just, you know, Trump. Everything is just Trump. He's taking all the oxygen out of the room. But when you have local issues like this, I don't know if they're afraid or if they're in with the in crowd or what, but it just seems way too coincidental. And at the same time, nobody's talking about this $250 a trip surcharge, which is ridiculous. Nobody's talking about the Amazon deal going down the drain, which is also horrible for cab drivers. But everything is this chicken spit situation where, you know, people get their feelings hurt. But, you know, the band's got to play on. You just can't all of a sudden, you know, get rid of a committee. You might get rid of the chairperson. You can't get rid of the committee. It's like saying, okay, we don't like Yoshi. We want to get rid of the TLC.
Right.
You know, not necessarily the case. I mean, and Yoshi apparently was up there saying he should resign too. So
There are people tweeting on the TLC website about how she was abused by Diaz.
Thanks for the visual image.
Well, you know, Diaz, you know, was front and center with Mary Joshi, okay? And if you can't take the heat, don't start the fire. You know, I mean, she has a lot to answer to, okay?
Right.
Absolutely.
Okay? And it seems to me that she doesn't want to give answers directly, okay?
Well, I guess her strategy is I got another month of this BS. Let me just keep my mouth shut and wave goodbye. You know, I can't really blame her for that if that's her attitude. But at the same time,
but she's not keeping her mouth shut. She's all over the place touting the driver income requirements that they have now. She's going around telling Uber drivers you're going to get a $10,000 raise. This is going to increase economic activity in New York City by $600 million. Yeah, she's at Cardoza. She's at the New York Athletic Club. She's on Twitter. Yeah, it's like a sales pitch. It reminds me of Ronald Reagan when he used to do sales pitches for General Electric. It's going to be interesting to see where she goes in a month. Although there are people who are thinking she's going to stay.
Yeah. You know, I'm beginning to think that. Okay?
You know,
I'm thinking that because, you know, if she's resigning, she's doing it very slowly, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, okay? And everybody is singing her praises.
Yeah.
And you know, what a wonderful job she's done. The narrative is being set.
Yeah.
Diaz is gone. She can come back, you know?
Wow. Well, the other thing that gets me about this, if I may interrupt for the 15th time, I'm sorry, I apologize.
That's okay. You know, I apologize.
Yeah. But we can't help it.
But the other thing, I was just thinking about with this Amazon thing going down the drain, because they had a small but vocal collection of, far left people saying, oh, Amazon is horrible, Amazon is horrible. I think they expected Amazon to come to the table and beg forgiveness, but Amazon just up and, you know, cut and ran. So now the construction jobs, which were union, are down the drain. That's about 10 or 15,000 jobs right there. Then when the place opens three blocks from the projects, and the 70% of the blacks and Hispanic wanted the Amazon deal in Queens, that's gone. So you got 10,000 jobs to build a place. Then you got 25,000 jobs that are gone, not to mention the surrounding area with delis and restaurants and everything else, where these people would have money to spend. Oh, and by the way, the yellow cabs, the green cabs, and the Uber cars and the Lyft cars, these are all 25,000 jobs, of which I'd say at least 10 or 15 would have been steady daily riders back and to and from this place and their families. So we probably would have 50,000 rides a day emanating from this new Amazon thing. So this is a screw-up of epic proportions. So I think now the TLC and de Blasio and Cuomo have this glut of Uber cars in their lap that they don't know what to do with, and it makes it even worse. So congratulations to the cowardice of some members of the city council. And de Blasio and Cuomo, they didn't help things either by announcing this after the elections. They didn't announce it before the elections. They announced it after the elections. Now it's a complete mess A to Z, but at the same time, we need that FHV committee, because these are cabbies with issues and problems and all this stuff going on. And I think if they don't like the Reverend Ruben Diaz, fine. Find someone else to run that thing. But it took a lot of time to get started. And the Federation of Taxi Drivers was out there in force defending the guy. And like I said, it wasn't the brightest thing in the world he said about the gay community. But at the same time, let's move on. If you got to replace him, I don't think he should resign, because then you're just getting into a whole, like, evil thing. But let's get a dialogue, for goodness sakes. That's my spiel on that.
I'll take the other side on the Amazon thing. Nothing wrong with 25,000 jobs, but on the other hand, when you let a company in like Amazon, they're going to run you. And you can see how arrogant they are. It's just like Uber. Yeah. The city council, the mayor, they're not going to have any say at all. They're going to be running things. They come in, they tell you what to do, they tell you to jump, you say how high. That's how it works with them. You know, Amazon loses money on every shipment they make. They have ways of making money, collecting information on you, you know, contracts with the Defense Department, which Uber has also, by the way. I mean, these are multinational corporate predators that need to be broken up.
Let me say something.
I don't know if Trump has the political power to do that. Now, maybe he does.
Let me say something.
But I think that's what
I want to say something. Okay, I know. And ladies and gentlemen, we can't see each other, me, Carolyn, and Mike. We're all on phones in different locations, okay?
Right.
So if I'm raising my hand, I want to talk, okay? They don't hear me. But I just want to say this, okay? The thing that I objected to mostly for this Amazon thing is the $3 billion, you know, tax break that they were giving them, okay? And at the same time, taking the poor taxi drivers $250 a trip that could have been in the taxi driver's pocket. Okay.
Yeah.
So the $3 billion that they were giving Amazon a break, give them $1 billion, and please take the other $2 billion a year and leave the taxis alone, please. Okay.
Right.
I mean does Amazon need a $3 billion break? They make $3 billion a minute. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you know how many times I bought from Amazon.
Jeff Bezos could buy our entire industry. Jeff Bezos.
Yeah, I mean,
I think he wants to.
Yeah, but you know what's fair is fair, and you know, these guys weren't going to pay any taxes, okay? And who's paying the taxes? The hardworking taxi driver who can't make enough money to feed his family. You know, the state of New York steals a $2.50 increase that could have gone in his pocket, right? And takes it because they need money for the MTA. Okay, you need money for the MTA. Get it. Get to tell the MTA to raise their fares to what they should be, and leave the taxi drivers alone.
Yeah, my plan for the MTA is they should take the underground subway and just fill it with concrete, and that's the end of it. That's my plan for the MTA. And just from now on, everything is a monorail and above ground. Because I watch these so-called workers in the underground tunnels. It's like watching instant replay on a sports channel. Slow motion. Nothing gets done. Rats all over the place. And I think just forget it. And the craziest thing with these subways, the subways are 100 years old. The actual tunnel is 100 years old. The actual tracks are probably
They're more than 100 years old.
I mean,
it's more than 100.
I mean, the things are there. What do you have to do? Replace a couple of wires, replace a couple of light bulbs, wash off the platform. The platforms are there. So they're crying and whining about all this repairs for the MTA. And Carolyn brought up a good point. If you want to talk about this, Carolyn, I didn't know that a lot of this MTA fare money from the subways and the buses is sucked out of the MTA and goes into other projects. I didn't even know about that part.
Oh, you mean like the ski resorts? That story that came out a year or two ago?
Tell me.
No, I don't know that much about it. Who knows where it goes? I mean, we already paid $1 billion into the MTA, right? Where did that money go? What did they do with it?
Nobody knows.
They probably should raise fares every other year. That's what they said they were going to do. I mean, everything else goes up. Why not
make
that?
Make it $5 and give you a free breakfast. That's what I think.
Well, what they're doing is they're making the taxi passengers pay the MTA for fares that you know that should be gotten from the customers of the MTA. Okay.
I do know somebody who worked for the MTA laying track. He did not have a desk job. He laid track. And he had enough time to write a novel while he was working. And it's not his fault. That's a management thing, how things are arranged and organized. It's not his fault.
That's a novel within the novel.
Here you have cab drivers maybe, you know, making $40,000 a year, subsidizing guys who are making $100,000 a year. What's wrong with that picture? The average MTA salary with the benefits and everything is, I think, something around $100,000 a year.
Mm-hmm. So, by the way, I'm moving in Queens, so that's why you hear all this stuff in the background. Don't mind me.
Don't people call Ubers for that? I see people moving all their worldly goods in Ubers.
SUV,
I see that on the street.
Mike is moving into Gracie Mansion next year.
Yeah, oh, exactly. Pretty much.
Mike for yes. Mayor, okay?
Okay. I second the motion.
And Carolyn for,
I abstain.
For City Council Speaker.
And Abel B. TLC Commissioner.
No, that's for that's for Taxi Dave.
All right, you can be one of the commissioners. You can be the out-of-town one. They should have an out-of-town one because there's so many medallion owners who probably live outside, you know, being retirees.
Yeah, well, you know, that brings up another thing. What about the guys, people like me, who have serviced the city of New York for close to 50 years now, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, I was 22 years old when I first stepped into a New York City taxi cab to drive, and I just passed my 71st birthday, okay? Okay? Mm-hmm. And you know, I've pretty much dedicated my life to chauffeuring people around New York City, okay? And what do I get for this? Okay, what do I get? I get screwed, okay?
High blood pressure.
Yeah, well, my blood pressure is okay, thank God. Okay, but what I got is a big headache. All right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, for all the time that I put in and all the promises that my medallion was going to take me through my retirement, you know, it's all down the drain, okay? And you know, it's never mentioned. All that's mentioned is the taxi drivers that are out there now, okay?
Right. It becomes a worker issue, which of course it is, but that's not our issue.
Yeah.
And it becomes a debt issue. Mira Joshi, to deflect from everything that she did wrong over the last 8 years that she's been involved with the Taxi and Limousine Commission, will often talk about debt. That debt situation is going to resolve itself. The city isn't going to do anything about it. It's either going to be write-offs or write-downs or bankruptcies or foreclosures if you owe over a certain amount. I would imagine if you owe $300,000 and you're out there working, you're okay. You can manage those payments. If you owe, you know, $800,000, it's probably not going to work for you. But then there's about 20% of medallions that don't have any money owed on them. They're free and clear. What about those people? What are you going to do for them? It's not a debt issue.
And that's precisely
usually
what I'm
a retirement
talking
about. Issue. You know, it's a retirement issue by that point. Yeah.
You know.
And no, you can make a case that those people have been hurt worse than anybody.
How do you build a business? I mean, how do you like even attempt to build a business or increase staff or rent a garage or how do you even attempt to do anything expansion wise with yellow cabs? I mean, you don't know one day to the next what's going to happen. I mean, I was thinking about that. I honestly was thinking about, you know, buying a medallion. I said, okay, wow, it's cheap. Might not be a bad idea to buy a medallion now because it's very cheap and maybe it's cyclical and it'll come back. Then whammo, $250 a trip comes in.
Yeah.
I'm saying, what happened? What's to stop these knuckleheads from just, Amazon left town, so now we have to charge $5 a trip. I mean, what's to stop them from doing that? I mean, that's where the court case comes in. And I'll tell you, the court cases take forever. I mean, it's not like you go in and all of a sudden, boom, it's over. It's impossible to plan these things out, you know?
Right. And then that $250 could become a $5 surcharge.
Yeah.
That's what they were originally talking about a year ago.
Oh, my God.
They were talking about $5.
Well, at what point do the surcharges drive all the customers away? You know, there has to be a point where they say, we can't take it anymore. You know, and you know, for every person that they, and I'm sure there are people out there now that have said to themselves, that's it, I'm taking the subway. Okay, I'm going to take subways and buses, or I'm going to hitchhike. Okay, whatever.
You know, the other thing is with 130,000. Yeah, if I might raise my hand for a second.
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead,
teacher. The other thing with nobody talks about. I see ads for Uber and Lyft on the back of city buses. Nobody talks about how much money is being sucked out of the MTA and the bus system by these app cars. And their group rides and say, listen, they talk about the MTA has a shortfall of like $3 billion. Guess what? You have like 100,000 cars dragging money out of the MTA every day. I mean, why is this not part of the equation? I don't expect much from the Blasio school system, but even the worst math student in the city system can figure out if you got 100,000 cars charging basically the same price per person for riding in an Uber car, or for that fact, a yellow cab, they're not going to ride the subways and the trains.
I'd like to add something to that, if I could.
Yeah.
According to the city's own information, 99.something% of New York City residents live within a 10-minute walk of a bus or a subway.
10-minute walk?
A half a mile. That's 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. I often walk a mile to get to the subway, which would put me in a transportation desert, which, of course, I'm not in. So, I mean, this is like a made-up issue. Mm-hmm. Plus, Sam Schwartz was talking about the detriment to people's health by having cars coming and picking you up in front of your house all the time. Because for some people, that 10-minute walk is all the exercise they're ever going to get. And that's the difference between life and death, the 20 pounds more or 20 pounds less. It's not such a bad thing unless you're very old, disabled, or maybe if you have very small children. But for most of us, we're better off walking that 10 minutes. I mean, I don't understand why that's such a problem. Plus, this is what some of the Uber drivers are saying about congestion and numbers of cars on the street. I went on the Uber People website.
Right.
So the title of this thread is, Mayor de Blasio is the Man. He clapped back at Uber trying to sue. He reminded Uber that congestion is caused by FHV, and that we were underpaid. Uber is arguing that the outer boroughs are underserved. Hogwash. This is an Uber driver. Uber misses not being able to deactivate drivers as long as the so-called cap is in place. Uber has to play nice.
Yeah, there was a guy, Seth something from the mayor's office, who said exactly that. It says, a lot of the congestion is caused by too many Uber cars, and the drivers aren't getting paid enough. And that, he said that specifically. He said, mayor's spokesman. So a little hat tip to De Blasio on that part. But you're right. I mean, at what point does it, they sit down and say, do the math and say, wow, we're getting clip for about $2 million a day that for money that should be going into the MTA, but now it's going to all these zillions of cars running around. And it's a little strange right now what's going on. I mean, and then not to mention the pollution. How much more pollution is being churned out by these dopey glut of cars? I mean, you got to be kidding me. I mean, I know when we tried to get more yellow cabs on the road, we had to run, jump through hoops.
Right, 1,000-page environmental impact statements. Right. And they said there would be effects on the environment just from the 2,000 cabs. It would affect traffic. It would affect air quality. So let's take that number, you know, and multiply it by 40. 40 times that. That's how many extra cars are on the road now.
Yeah, and I'll be a devil's advocate and say, okay, let's say the cars are getting better gas mileage. So instead of 15 miles a gallon, they're getting 30 miles a gallon, fine. So that means instead of worrying about 130,000 cars, you've slapped about 70,000 extra cars on the road with all the pollution that goes with it and the parking, and you can't move in the city, and the ambulances can't get their patients, and the cops can't catch criminals. And by the way, let me just throw this in peripherally. I wish the media would stop saying the detective got shot by friendly fire. It makes it like a blame the police deal, which is not. It was just some.
Well, they were responding to a crime, they thought.
Right, but there's a big thing about friendly fire. It reeks of lib wackles trying to blame the police. So I wish the press would stop that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well.
Let me say this. You know, if Uber wins this lawsuit that they have now challenging the cap, so to speak, okay, which is saying, you know, now our side is saying, well, it should have been a moratorium because perhaps that they wouldn't have been able to. That this is what Diaz is saying, actually. Diaz wrote a letter to one of the councilmen, Levin, right, saying that it should have been a moratorium. This way, they wouldn't be able to sue us for a cap.
Right.
This is, you know, a moratorium to do a congestion study,
review.
Yeah, right, an environmental review, right. And you really don't have to do that. I guess all you have to do is walk out on the street and take a breath of fresh air, and you have your environmental review. Okay, but you know, let's think of the worst thing that could happen, and that is that Uber wins this lawsuit, okay? And now they have 100,000 cars on the road, whatever it is, okay, 150, 130, whatever. They'll keep going on and on and on until they have, you know, more cars on the road than all the other cars combined, okay? I mean, I'm talking about private cars and everything, because their goals are they want to eliminate private car ownership. Okay, you know, it's something that they're dreaming about. They're absolutely dreaming, because the people do not want to give up their cars. It's actually the only time in the world when they're free is when they're in their car. Okay, it's a psychological thing. You know, people go to work every day. They got a boss. The boss hammers at them all day long. They go home. They got their wife or husband. Whatever, and the husband or wife hammers at each other. Okay, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Why don't you do this? And suddenly they get into their cars, and there's nobody there to tell them what to do. Okay, right? And so, and suddenly, I have my freedom. I can just sit in this car and drive and think whatever I want and say whatever I want. Okay, and people are not going to give up their cars. Okay, maybe some will. Maybe some will. Okay, but most people like to drive. They want to get in the car in the morning in Westchester County and drive into Manhattan. Okay, they want to.
Sure.
Yeah, okay, they want to jump in their car at 5 p.m. when they're done working and drive home and not have anybody telling them what to do, okay? And if they're going to get into an Uber car and, you know, over and over again, they're going to get into things with the drivers, you know, and the driver, why am I doing this? I can't do that. I can't do this. And, you know, they want their cars, okay?
Yeah.
Psychologically speaking.
And I'll tell you one thing.
Okay?
I've never seen more one person, one car deals on the streets of New York. It's just, I mean, that's another deal altogether. But I guess because the subways are so horrible that people have just had it. And it's like, listen, I got to take my car into the city. And then the other insanity the other day as Cuomo came out with this thing about congestion pricing. He goes, well, let's see. According to our statistics, we have 2% of the cars come from the Bronx, 1.5% come from... He's saying that combined, out of the four boroughs of New York City besides Manhattan, a measly 9% of the cars come into Manhattan out of all the cars, which is complete BS. I don't know who's telling him this. I don't know if Uber prepared that report, but to say 9% of the private cars in Manhattan are from the city itself outside Manhattan is utter complete horse deuce.
Well, if he thinks that, then they're not a problem for congestion, are
that's
they?
Right. That's
then that
right.
means that the main problem is the FHVs. Look, they're not going to get rid of the bike lanes. They're not going to get rid of the pedestrian plazas. They're not going to get rid of bus lanes. Those mm-hmm. are sacred cows politically.
Right.
We have a very limited number of yellow cabs. So the only thing that you can play with is the FHV numbers. There isn't anything else to do. And I'm not sure if Uber's goal is self-driving cars or even their goal is the IPO. That's all they're thinking about now. And everything we see happening is about that IPO. There were two things they were terrified about. One was any meaningful compliance with wheelchair accessibility requirements.
Right.
Where they would add a quarter of their cars or half their cars or, you know, some horrifying number of cars. They did not want to do that. So they took it to court. And in the corners of that courtroom, a settlement was come to by the city lawyers, TLC, and Uber, and there was some other people there. And basically, the settlement is they can do whatever they want. As long as when somebody calls up and needs a wheelchair-accessible car, if they're able to get it to them in 10, 15 minutes, that's fine. Mm-hmm. If they can do that with 100 cars, they'll do it with 100 cars. I think they have about 300 wheelchair-accessible cars now. Okay, so they have 100,000 vehicles and 300 wheelchair accessible. We have 13,000 vehicles, and I think we have about 2,600 wheelchair accessible cars. What's wrong with that picture? Then the other thing they were terrified of was a hard cap. That didn't actually happen. You know, and even that's not good enough for them. They're fighting against that because they need to have all the ducks in a row and everything in place for the IPO because they keep losing money. They just lost another $765 billion in the fourth quarter of 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So they got to get this show on the road. They got to get this thing going. But I just want to say something about ambulances.
Right.
I was standing on the street the other day, and I was watching an ambulance that was stuck behind, like, five Ubers. It was I think it was 60-something street between Lexington and 3rd, and he just sat there with the siren wailing. So I thought, you know, I wonder if I could find out what the stats are on response times. And you know what? I was able to. As per the New York City Fire Department, Manhattan ambulance incidents. Okay, so the most serious is cardiac arrest and choking. That's a Category 1. Mm-hmm. You want them to get to you fast, right? So in 2013, it was 4 minutes, 51 seconds. Now it's 5 minutes, 25 seconds.
Well, are there stats on how many people have died because of this?
No, how many minutes it takes to get,
because it takes longer, then more people are dying before they get there.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, Category 2 and 3 are life-threatening emergencies, okay? That went from 6 minutes and 28 seconds to 7 minutes and 52 seconds. That makes a difference, you know?
Sure.
Then the fire response times, it's the same story. It's all higher now.
The other thing you have to bear in mind with these statistics is they've probably been fudged and crunched to get to that higher number. So it's probably another 20% on top of that, in my opinion.
Right. Yeah. So I mean, there it is. Now, you can say, oh, that was because of the bike lanes. Well, that was because of the pedestrian plazas. But the biggest factor has got to be the FHVs. It's all you see when you're on the streets of Manhattan. You might see a private car, too. And by the way, there's many less private cars coming into the city now. Every year, there's less private cars coming into the city. It's the FHVs. It's the FHVs. That's the only thing you need to deal with. And that's the one thing nobody ever wants to deal with.
Yeah, it's a very simple equation. I mean, it's just if you look at it, if you go from 40,000 to 120,000 in 5 years, A, there's going to be more pollution. B, there's going to be more traffic. And actually, A1, there's going to be millions of dollars being sucked out of the MTA fund. And, you know, the other thing is, we're taking $250 a trip. Where's this money going? Where is this new $250 a trip going? Is it going directly to the MTA, which is the big BS story with the onset of it? Or is it just going into the air. Nobody knows where this money's going. I mean, there's no lockbox specifically in the MTA.
And every article I read, Cuomo talks about a lockbox. You know, you know, it's easy to talk about it, but, you know, the box never gets locked. All right?
Yeah, Cuomo's not a big lockbox guy. I mean, historically, he's the pirate ship of the MTA. That's what the MTA is. He ran HUD, so he has nothing to do with HUD. Then he appoints the board, the majority of the board for the MTA, so he doesn't know why there's such a problem in the MTA. He's outraged at the MTA. It's like, dude, the overwhelming majority of the MTA board are the people you put in there.
Yeah.
So it's just totally ridiculous.
Carolyn, I want you to look into your crystal ball, and 3 years from now, where do you think this is going to lead us? All of this is going to lead us.
You know, strangely, it might be connected to what happened with Amazon. Mm-hmm. I think that de Blasio has a come to Jesus moment. Excuse me to Christian people if you find that offensive, but he's at this crossroads where you're going to have to decide as a politician. Is Silicon Valley running you? You know, are you running the city, or are you letting Silicon Valley come in here and run the city and real estate people? There's no two ways. There's no compromise about this. It's either one way or it's the other way. And I feel kind of like he's leaning on the more populist side, maybe because of pressure on the left from Ocasio-Cortez and other people, you know, of her ilk. It might, and, you know, plus the Democrats are always losing support because they're losing working class people all over the place because of the way they've treated them and called them deplorables. And maybe they're picking up on that. So maybe there is some hope for us because Silicon Valley is elitist, you know. So which side are you going to be on? So I think there is a glimmer of hope.
Well, they have to be on the side of the people voting. Okay.
Because this is a labor issue. Yeah, it really is. Yeah. When, you know, when you have a company come in, flood the streets with tens of thousands of cars that aren't needed. I mean, it would be like if I owned a factory and I had 25 workstations, so I know I needed 25 guys. And then I say to myself, no, I think I'll find 50 and let's see how fast they run to get to the machines. And whoever gets there first, you know, get paid that day. I mean, that's essentially what they've done.
Most people agree that there's a real crisis in New York City. Over this, the subways and the congestion and everything, and sooner or later you can't just let it go on and on and on. Somehow the problem has to be solved.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
And you know, or do we just have politicians that are saying, well, I can't solve it. You know, well, let's wait to see who solves it later. Okay.
Well, this is why I jump back to Trump. I mean, everything is Trump. So there's no local issues.
Yeah, but Trump is not living in New York City anymore. You know, I understand what you're saying that on the news if you turn on the news, all they talk about is Trump, and they're not talking about the problems of the city. Okay. However, aside from the news, you know, people do know there's a problem. You don't have to hear it on the news. You know, all you have to do is walk out on the street.
Outside.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And somewhere people are asking for solutions. Right. Okay.
Well, the big problem here is I honestly think there's a wing of the lib wacko Democrats that wants to keep the poor poor. They have a poverty base that they depend on for votes. So if the poverty base all of a sudden gets prosperity, i.e., if a first-generation cabbie buys a cab medallion for $400,000, then it goes to $1 million, guess what? He's not in the poverty base anymore, and he's going to be asking, why am I paying
in the city? Well, de Blasio got elected when the medallions were $1 million. He sold some for $1 million, okay?
Yeah.
All right, so...
Yeah, there's
so
a lawsuit about that.
Yeah, I know that, okay? But the point I'm making is, you know, just having the cab drivers, be sustainable, lucrative, okay?
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't make the rest of the people lucrative, all right? Okay?
This is true.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there is a pattern generally in the country of getting rid of the middle class because they're not needed anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need
creepy.
You.
Well,
very
you have to, yeah, you do. You, the rich need slaves.
And look what's happening in Paris.
Yeah.
You get 60, 70, 80,000 middle-class, working-class people in the streets of Paris rioting every weekend. That's the conclusion. That's what happens. Yep. It hasn't happened here yet, but, you know, give it a few more years. See how unhappy people get.
We hope it doesn't come to that. Okay?
Absolutely.
All right.
Summer's on the way. You never know.
You know, and another thing I want to bring up, you know, where are the New Yorkers to be in office? We have a mayor that's from Boston.
Yeah.
We have a city council speaker that's from Boston.
Yeah.
Right? Okay? Mm-hmm. Bloomberg was from Boston. Where are the New Yorkers? You know, what happened?
She's from Pennsylvania.
Yeah, she's from Pennsylvania. I mean, what happened to the Ed Kochs and the Rudy Giulianis, you know, the native New Yorkers that used to be in office? Do they not exist anymore? Okay?
Who's from Pennsylvania? Who you said?
Joshie. Mary Doshi's from Philadelphia.
Oh, she is? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's not in New York.
Now, how long did Mary Doshi drive a yellow cab for? I never heard how long. How long was she a cab driver?
Never.
That long, huh?
Okay, yeah. All right.
Yeah. I'd like to point out
that Taxi Dave is a native New Yorker. Okay, I'm a native New Yorker. Mm-hmm. Mike is a native New Yorker, and Carolyn is a native New Yorker. Okay, we were all born and raised in New York City. Okay, and where are we? We're getting run over by people from Boston, from Philadelphia.
Right.
Okay. I mean,
don't forget Khan, the bike lady. She was from California.
Oh, really?
Wonderful.
Okay.
Yeah, Jeanette. What was her name? Jeanette Khan.
Could be.
The one who brought a city bike.
Yeah.
The bike
okay.
She thinks she was in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we've had a very eclectic show, I must say. We've covered everything. I feel like going back to sleep now.
Okay, well, Mike, you have the rest of the day ahead of you, and so do I, and Carolyn does. Yeah. And, does anybody want to bring up anything else? Otherwise, we're going to leave it for the next time. Okay?
Oh, yeah, I should mention that the Taxi Workers Alliance has a demonstration on Tuesday, February 26th. That's a week from this Tuesday.
And where is that?
At 1 p.m. 633 Third Avenue
against the
congestion.
The governor's office, and the governor is could care less. Okay.
Also, they have a link on their website where you can find out who your New York State Assembly person is and who your New York State Senator is, so you can call their office.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a 212 area code number to call the governor's office, which I don't have off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But we can post it again on your website because it actually does work and you get a person when you call.
All right. Well,
because if they don't hear from anybody, you know, I mean, it might not help, but it's not going to hurt to call them up and express your, you know.
Well, let me tell you something. Right now, Cuomo and de Blasio are in the middle of getting their asses kicked because of this Amazon fiasco. So I think as much as we want to do jumping jacks, they got the big people are ringing their ears off, asking them, what just happened, because that was an utter and complete travesty for everybody.
Let me say one more thing about what might happen in 3 years with de Blasio. I think it depends on whether he's successful in his quest to become a national figure, which has never happened.
Well, he was on Bill Maher's show.
So once that comes to an end and he knows he's not going anywhere nationally, then he doesn't have to kiss Silicon Valley's ass. You know, because if you're a Democratic politician, I got news for de Blasio.
His chances of becoming president are just slightly better than mine.
But see, that's good for us.
Yeah, I know.
Because once he realizes that he doesn't have to be in, because, you know, everybody gives in to pressure. I don't even blame him for that.
My prediction,
it's the way the world works, okay?
My prediction is that the next president will probably be a Democrat that everybody knows. Okay, so
I think it's going to be Trump. He has a 52% approval rating, according to Rasmussen. I don't know if that's...
All right, well, let's not get into this debate, okay? All right.
Let's leave that for another time.
Let me put my hand up. De Blasio has about as much chance of being elected president as I do to get a lap dance from J-Lo in Macy's window on Thanksgiving Day.
Okay, I'm going to call up J-Lo.
If elected president, I'll be happy because I'll be getting a lap dance from J-Lo. Okay. And Macy's window.
I will call her up and ask
and
her. Okay, listen.
Yeah, and you can take pictures.
Listen, I want to tell everybody out there that NYC Taxi News is doing very well. Okay, and you know, the latest news on things that are going on in the taxi business. I personally work on it every day and do get the news up there. Okay, and I want to thank the people that have supported us, such as the MTBOT, okay, Checker Management, Queens Medallion, and what is it, Boulevard Taxi, okay, Boulevard Taxi Leasing, and Mystic Brokerage, okay, and along with the WB Taxi have been supporting us and keeping us alive, okay, and I want to thank them. And, you know, any other supporters out there, feel free to go on the website and give us a call or send us an email, and we'll allow you to support us too. Okay?
Right.
And
please do.
And
by all means.
With that, I'm going to say I hope that Uber loses their law case. I hope that I hope that some of this mess will be straightened out. I hope that the courts will tell the governor that this 250 surcharge it shouldn't be, because this case is still alive, okay? All right, for anybody who's wondering, you know, they're collecting the money now, but there's still a chance that the courts will say, you can't do this. I say you can't do this, okay?
Right.
Whether you're doing it or not, you shouldn't be doing it, okay?
Well, it shouldn't be done in due process. I mean, there was no fair increase hearing of any kind.
Yeah.
I mean, it's discriminatory against the little. The last thing is, hey, the first time I drove the cab, I was like on my own personal strike for 2 weeks. So I didn't feel like driving for 2 weeks,
and
picking up people for 2 weeks because I was so disgusted at this 250 per trip thing.
Right.
I had a lady come in going to the Grand Hyatt from Kennedy Airport. We hit the tunnel, boom, 250 on the meter. So out of her $60 fare and toll, another 250. So she's getting hit for a 4% increase. Then literally, I had a college kid going 12 blocks away. The fare was $8.80, including the 250. So that means he got a 40% fare increase. So you have one person coming in from the airport getting a 4% increase. Then you have some college kid going around the corner. He's paying a 40% fare increase. So right there, it's discriminatory. I mean, it's ridiculous.
You're right. They should do it by percentage of the fare. And the taxi drivers should get at least 50% of that surcharge. Okay.
That's a good idea.
Right. All right. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, we're not telling the governor he can't do it at all. We're just saying cut us in. We're doing the work.
Common sense. Common sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Like 50,
what do you mean?
Cents is okay.
What do you mean 250 a trip and we can't get a penny? Okay.
And we're supporting private investors. Carolyn said the other day they have these bond people. Their bond rating is down. So why are we propping up the private investor bonds being sold by the MTA from the cab money? That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Mike. Mike, you want to say goodbye?
I want to say goodbye and thank you, New York, for dealing with all this BS, because right now you know about as much as we do. And we're supposed to know everything, but I'm very concerned about my city with all this nonsense going on.
Okay, and Carolyn, I want to thank you for doing the show with us.
I want to thank you for all your work on the website, because I find myself very often turning to it if I need to look up a lawsuit or something I can't remember, or a rule that was passed, or a council hearing, or a TLC hearing. It's just so invaluable that I don't have to go hunting all over the place, and I can just go right to your website and find whatever I need, and more.
Carolyn, for helping me do that, okay? You know, Carolyn is our ace reporter on the website, okay? I count on her sometimes to get the information to me, because sometimes I'm so depressed I don't want to do it. Okay, to tell you the truth. All right, I say to myself, I am so sick of this. I am so sick. Okay, this has been going on.
It's just constant onslaught of nonsense.
Yeah.
Been going on for 4 years.
You know, I can't. I'm not suicidal. I want to say that I am not suicidal, but.
Good.
You know, but every year I get older, I wonder how much more of this, will this be less time that I have to take of this BS, okay?
Yeah.
Okay? That I've worked my whole life in this business, basically, Okay, I'm a veteran. I got out of the Army, and I said, I want to drive a taxi. Okay?
Right.
I mean, I served my country. Okay? How many people can say that? How many people can say that they were in the military, serving their country, and then came out and then worked at something to serve the city of New York and the people of the city of New York for close to 50 years and get screwed? Okay? That's the way I feel.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
And it's very depressing. Very, very depressing. Okay? So I'm not suicidal. And I don't want to die of a horrible disease, but I know that every day I get older, it's less time I have to think about this crap. All right?
Well, I always say, please don't jump because you might live. I mean, if you jump and you live.
Yeah, well, I'm not jumping.
If you're in a wheelchair, you'll be like really
fast. And I don't need any psychological help, Ms. Joshi. Okay? I could make up my own mind about things. All right?
They actually had a girl going up and down the rows that, I think it was LaGuardia. It might have been Kennedy. Her name, what was her name? Shits, something like that. She was going around trying to tell the drivers about how they could access counseling.
Counseling.
I mean, I wonder how many suicides are going to cause with that.
I didn't need any counseling. I didn't need any counseling when somebody got in my cab at 2 o'clock in the morning on 86th Street and 1st Avenue and said, take me to Coney Island. Okay? I didn't need any counseling. I just needed to ask them if they wanted to take the bridge or the tunnel.
Right.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You know,
give
me a break. Okay? Restore what I earned. I earned what I earned, and you let it slip out of my hands. Okay? And somebody is responsible for that. Okay, and I don't care.
You're robbed.
I was robbed. Right, and Travis Kalanick is running around with my $1 million. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of other people's money too.
And a lot of other people's money too. Okay, I'm speaking for everyone.
Yeah.
I'm speaking for all the people. Mm-hmm. I know a guy that did the same as me. He went to my high school. He bought a medallion, and now he has multiple sclerosis. Okay, he's getting so little amount of money. I don't know how his wife could handle it all. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. In my opinion, I honestly feel this is like the great train robbery, and nobody's doing anything about it. I mean, you talk about all these people robbing this and robbing that. I mean, what's the difference between the city of New York selling medallions at auction with an upset price that, in my opinion, guarantees you the price?
Right.
And now it's not even the upset price anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I gotta go. I'm moving.
All right.
So
okay. Help. I know. Okay. And Carolyn, thank you. Thank you for doing the show and everybody out there.
Thank you. Ed.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Mike.
And we'll try to do more of this. Okay.
All right. 10-4, good buddies. See you later.
Okay. Bye, everyone.